Hello and welcome to the podcast of Peter Wright's blog. This edition is titled Resilience, Busy Hands and Healthy Hermits. In the previous posts, I suggested that reserves of resilience have declined as it has become easier to survive in modern societies. Since writing that post, which incidentally I did not turn into a podcast, you'd have to go and read the post on the blog, peterwrightsblog.com. I've read two more articles that support that argument. The first, called Raise Your Mood with Your Hands by Adam Kahn from Moodraiser, quotes from Kelly Lambert's book titled Lifting Depression, A Neuroscientist's Hands-On Approach to Activating Your Brain's Healing Power. The article states that rates of depression have risen as our lives have become easier. That when it was more difficult to survive, when our ancestors had to work much harder just to meet the demands of the basics, food and shelter, they were mentally healthier. That was the argument I was making about resilience too. It could be argued that, as may be applicable to the prevalence of diseases like cancer, in the old days, most humans in those earlier times did not live long enough to contract diseases or mental health problems that afflict older people today. However, neither cancer nor mental health issues are confined to old people. Many people today in their 30s to 50s, ages similar to those reached by humans hundreds or thousands of years ago, are afflicted. The suggestion is that by reducing the need to use our hands, we are not stimulating our brains with the anticipation and satisfaction of carrying out complex manual activities. The second article appeared on the Good Shit blog. Yes, that really is the name, and I have a warning in my blog post that before you click that link, it's a strange mixture of good and offbeat articles, and it also has photographs of nude women. The name of the blog's highly appropriate. It is a digest. Each weekday it is a huge number of short summaries of articles on a wide range of subjects with links to the original source. It also has some incredible old photographs of buildings, people, events, landscapes, old cars, old railways dating back to the 1800s. They've recently had a whole series from the early 1900s up to the Depression era. Articles of serious scientific, philosophical, political or medical interest are mixed up with ones about subjects so weird they make my hair curl. But as a single source for a varied daily diet or creative inspiration, it's one of the best I've found. Of course, I only read it out of a sense of duty, not for the distracting photographs. It's tough being a writer. Yesterday there was a headline, The Strange and Curious Tale of the Last True Hermit, and there's a link to the full article there. It's a story about Christopher Thomas Knight, who had lived as a hermit in the woods near North Pond in Maine for 27 years. He'd survived the harsh winters living in a tent deep in the woods, stealing food, clothing and books from local cottages and cabins to survive. He was too nervous to light a fire because of the smoke, so he cooked on small propane stoves, and he stole full propane tanks from cottages when he needed them. For almost 30 years, he'd had only one direct contact with another human being when he passed a hiker on a path and exchanged one word, hi. A brilliant example of someone living with adversity in many forms and surviving. The reasons for his decision to become a hermit and the details of his capture are not the point of referring to it here, but go to the article if you want the full story. What is relevant is his answer to the state troopers when he was eventually arrested and asked what he did for medical care when he got sick. His answer was that he did not get sick. He had not taken any medicine or seen a doctor in 27 years. He believed that you only get sick if you have direct contact with other humans. The hermit lifestyle is impossible and impractical for most people. Certainly not for me. I wouldn't like it. But it's interesting how Christopher Knight developed the resilience to survive really harsh winters, solitude, spasmodic and I guess mainly inadequate diet, without getting sick or becoming totally mentally unbalanced. That same resilience that allowed concentration camp victims to survive years of atrocious conditions. There certainly seems to be an inverse relationship between comfort and resilience. With the rapidly changing situations developing in the world today, More people will need to discover if they have the resilience to survive and succeed. What do you think?